Thank you for staying for, you know, the third day of the conference and also for later in the day today. I find myself almost losing some energy, but that's okay. We're going strong. So my presentation is going to focus on looking at the relationship between neighborhood poverty and social environmental stressors and how that relates to discrimination and hate crimes among HIV-positive African-American MSM. And I'd like to first start off by acknowledging one of my mentors, Laura Bogart, and also collaborators from LA and the Boston area. There are no financial relationships to disclose. I won't belabor this point because this has been sort of reiterated over and over again, but African American MSM bear a disproportionate burden of the HIV epidemic, accounting for 39% of all diagnoses and also three quarters of all the new incidents of HIV that we're seeing. They also often reside in disadvantaged and disenfranchised neighborhoods and frequently experience discrimination related to three intersecting stigmatized characteristics, including race, HIV status, and sexual orientation. And so the aim of this study, again, was to look at how these neighborhood-level factors relate to discrimination. So why look at these to sort of explain our rationale? Both the neighborhood level variables and discrimination have both been related to negative health outcomes. So poverty, for instance, has been related to high mortality amongst blacks and other issues such as diabetes, heart disease, and et cetera. And then for African-American men with HIV, discrimination has been related to viral load, failure, medication non-adherence, quality of life issues, depression, et cetera. So this is a way for us to then go and look at, are these factors also related to each other in terms of the neighborhood level factors and the discrimination? The sample size consisted initially of 214 HIV positive African American men, and then the analytic sample resulted to a number that was just a bit lower than that, like 190 of men who actually identified as MSM and also had information for us to gather the neighborhood level factors. They were recruited out of LA through medical centers and community social service agencies. And the data was collected using ACASI, which is a computer-assisted self-interview. Poverty rates. We used the residential zip code data that were linked to U.S. Census tracts, and that was used to calculate the proportion of individuals in a neighborhood that were living in poverty. Social environmental stressors, this was adapted from a scale that was developed by Hewart and Steptoe, and basically it had a list of seven stressors in an environment that individuals can indicate whether or not this was something that was a problem for them, somewhat a problem, a big problem, such as vandalism, littering, burglary, vacant housing, having individuals hang out in the corner, etc. Perceived discrimination was evaluated by a 30-item multiple discrimination scale that was developed by Laura Bogart and colleagues and has shown good reliability and validity, especially within this population. And it captures perceived discrimination in the past year based on the three identities that I spoke of in terms of being African-American, black race and ethnicity, HIV-positive SARS status, and gay sexual orientation or perceived as gay sexual orientation. Because, again, the majority of these individuals identify as MSM. However, that's not necessarily something in and of itself that would trigger the experience unless someone perceives you to be. So that's important to think about. Participants responded yes or no to questions about whether they had perceived any of 10 different discriminations. And the different types of discriminations fell within interpersonal discrimination. So having someone sort of treat you unfairly on an interpersonal level or family members exclude you. Also institutional discrimination in terms of being refused jobs, housing, and also in terms of other violent experiences. For hate crimes, we used an adaptation, again, of a 12 items, an adaptation of a scale from Herrick and Barrel. And questions for this were a lower number. So there were four items for this scale. And questions asked about police harassment, physical attack, property damage, and sexual assault within the past year. And again, all linked to these three different areas. So being Black, HIV positive, or being perceived as gay sexual orientation. We conducted multivariable linear regressions that were run with both poverty and social environment stressors as predictors within the same model, and perceived discrimination and hate crimes, each type treated as an individual outcome. In the analysis, we control for individual level factors such as age, education, employment status, housing situation, and income. The vast majority of participants were disenfranchised on an individual level. The median age was about 43.6. Around one-fifth had less than a high school diploma. 38% reported an annual income of less than $5,000 per year. That's just unimaginable in so many ways to live on. Unemployment rate was 84%, so the vast majority. Unstable housing, close to half. And 67% identified as gay or same-sex gender loving, and 18% identified as bisexual. But everyone included in this analytical sample identified as being an MSM, indicating that they've had sex with men. Neighborhood poverty rate, it was around 29%. Social environmental stressors, those items were averaged. So what you're looking at here is that on average about close to, there was about low to moderate level of social and environmental stressors that were reported. For discrimination and hate crimes, the numbers are actually lower than we would expect, but the ranges range from about, if you look at discrimination, for instance, and look at HIV-related discrimination, with the mean being 1.21 and the standard deviation being 2.12, what that says is that some individuals are reported not having indicated any instances out of all the 10 of having HIV-related discrimination within the past year, but then you have individuals who are reporting close to 4 instances of HIV-related discrimination within the past year. And it was also relatively low for hate crimes, which we were surprised by. Nonetheless, when we ran the multivariate analysis, we found that in terms of predicting discrimination and the different types of discrimination, social environmental stressors, so the scale that elicited information on whether or not issues such as littering, vandalism, vacant housing, people standing on the street was an issue in your neighborhood, that was a strong predictor for discrimination in all three of the categories. So more environmental stressors related to experiencing more Black-related discrimination, gay-related discrimination, and HIV-related discrimination. When we looked at hate crimes, so this was more around physical assault, police harassment, having your property destroyed because of these different three types of discrimination, we found that both poverty and social environmental stressors were predictors of hate crimes. So one thing you will notice is that social environmental stressors here predicted both Black-related hate crimes and gay-related hate crimes, but not HIV-related hate crimes. One might wonder, you know, is it because of the concealable factor around your HIV status in terms of is it disclosed or not, are people aware of that or not? But you'll see that in converse, you have poverty predicting gay-related hate crimes and HIV-related hate crimes, but not Black-related hate crimes. And one can wonder, you know, is it that there is a large cluster of individuals who are ethnic minority and Black within a high-poverty neighborhood, which might buffer against the number of experiences one is having around their Black identity? So the conclusion and implications. There's something that always bothers me when I get to this part in talking about research around discrimination and stigma, you know, because the initial thing that you want to say is, well, we need interventions. And as a clinical psychologist, I jump to that right away. Well, what interventions can we do? And at the end of the day, what's really needed is an overall in terms of systemically, structurally, on a societal level, right? If we just address the issues head on and work towards them, then eventually we could say that these are no longer issues that are of significant importance and therefore impact on people's lives. But what do we do in the moment? We can't just leave individuals who are coping with these issues to sort of like flare and wait for the ha-ha moment in society. So what this indicates is that there are relationships between these structural issues in terms of poverty and environmental stresses and experiences with discrimination and hate crimes for African-American MSMs with HIV, and that interventions are necessary both at the community level and at the individual level to both impact what we're looking at in these issues here. There is an intervention that's being developed as a part of a team that I'm a part of, led by Laura Bogart, where we're actually working on an intervention to help individuals, Black MSMs with HIV, enhance coping strategies for dealing with these three types of discrimination. And I say the word enhance because, unfortunately, one thing that comes with the legacy of experiencing discrimination is that the community has utilized different strategies, whether or not all of those has been completely adaptive at times for on the individual level is another question, but helping them to enhance and focus on the strengths in terms of ways that they could cope with it. But again, what I echoed before is that what's really needed is for us to think about the bigger picture in terms of public health initiatives so that we could impact poverty at a greater scale. I'd like to end by thanking the funding mechanisms that contributed. We love the NIMH, although sometimes they're interested in relationships. But and we're also thanking our collaborators and community members. Thank you, everyone, for sticking around and for being here.